Hey everyone, welcome to Food Not Bomb Sydney podcast. I'm your host, Daniel, and this podcast is a space to get to know some of our volunteers and regulars in the community. So we would appreciate any feedback. Please let us know on our Instagram, which is FNBSid, all in the show notes. And today I'll be joined by volunteer Punk Jay, keen to hear his story and a bit more, diving into some of his background. So, Jay, really appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for this opportunity.
So, you're like a what D-list, E-list celebrity in your community, I'm sure. So for everyone else like myself who have been living under a rock, who are you? And yeah, how'd you first come across Food Not Bombs?
I'm Jay. I'm like a high schooler in Sydney at the moment. I don't know. I love punk, and I love the community around punk, but I also just love people in general, and I guess that's what drives me to do the things I do politically and in terms of like volunteering. I guess I go to shows a lot, I go to gigs, I like doing DIY stuff, and I like volunteering and doing political stuff as well.
Sick. The social element is what kind of keeps you going, like the meeting people and building like community. That's what kind of gets you into the volunteering stuff.
Yeah, like for me, like the biggest motivations for volunteering is like there's that social aspect of being able to meet, other people who, care about, just like it sounds cringe, but just care about the world. Where like, before I started getting into politics or started volunteering, it did feel a bit isolating to feel so strongly about like quite a few issues, and then not really have that community of people who I can talk to about those issues, I guess. But yeah, so having that sort of social aspect is definitely a big motivator for volunteering, of just being able to meet and talk to people and just like learn from them, I guess. But it's also like another thing that drives me to volunteer is just, I like helping people, and I like pu putting my beliefs into practice. Like, yeah, I
Yes.
believe that community and people are able, like, can take care of themselves, and people should take care of each other. And I don't know, it feels good to do that, I guess.
And with Food Not Bombs, how did you first come across it?
It's kind of a, like a funny story actually, where I think it was back sometime like last year. In like I think the first quarter, maybe second quarter, of the year, when I was getting into punk music, there's this one punk song from this band called Ashtray, called Punk House, and it mentioned Food Not Bombs, in relation to like the punk community, and that just kind of like put it in my mind, because like at the time I was political because I was involved with school strike, but yeah, so that put like Food Not Bombs in my mind, and then I was doing research for like a project about like punk history, and I was reading about these punks in I think Myanmar who were like r setting up like a Food Not Bombs there, and I thought that was like really, really cool. And so it was like this combination of like, okay, I saw it again, I want to get involved, a just to get involved and volunteer and help people, but also just meet other sort of like punks and other like-minded people. So I remember one day I literally just like searched up like Food Not Bombs Sydney, found their website, found their Insta. I literally just DM'd them saying like, hey, I want to help out. And yeah, I guess that's how I came across Food Not Bombs, really.
Respect. So shout out to Ashtray for that apparently 2008 song, Punk House, in the lyrics. And then you came across it elsewhere within a Myanmar punk community. So it's awesome how it links kind of across the globe with different kinds of communities, and you can hopefully find a community that also shares similar cares to you about caring for each other. Because as you mentioned, it can be quite isolating to have certain ideas, beliefs, wanting to put them into practice, but then maybe not having that group community to bounce ideas off and to put things into practice. So yeah, along this, in terms of like challenges that you've come across, but before we get to that, when did you join, actually?
I joined last year, and I can actually get the exact date up. I joined, like, I got added to the chat which we used to organize, and I went to my first serve at the Wildcat Anarchist Fair.
Ah, yes.
I'm trying to, let me get the exact date for that. But yeah, I remember I got, like, they messaged me back and they added me to the Telegram chat. And, you know, I like they all welcomed me, and I said, like, "Hey, I'm Jay, like, interested in, like, volunteering and helping." And they're like, "Hey, you're actually, you know, serving at this anarchist fair if you want to come by and just, you know, meet
Nice.
some of us." And during that day, I was literally on the way to, like, a community garden to help out with a friend, because me and her at the time, like, would every now and then, like, go to this community garden. They did it more than me. I was just sort of going just to see what it was like, because I thought a community garden was cool. And so I did that, and then after I was like, "Oh, okay, that's what I'm gonna do today." And so I left, and I, like, went on a bus, and I was like, I was pretty nervous at the time, because it was, like, the first time I had gone to any sort of anarchist related thing, and at the time I didn't consider myself fully anarchist. And I remember I, like, entered, like, this sort of warehouse or whatever that was being held, and I was, like, seeing all these. At first, I was, like, struggling to find the building, but then I found it, and, you know, there's all these stalls and all these zines and all these punks, and, you know, also, like, non-punks, just, like, general sort of anarchists and activists. And I remember I was so nervous that I, like, would go in, and I would, like, take a few free zines and then, like, sit on a tree stump outside to read them, and then go back in and grab some more. And, like, I went to the Food or Bombs setup they had there, and I think I'm trying to remember who was there, but I think Iron was there, and I was like, "Hey, I'm Jay," and they're like, "Oh, nice to meet you. Feel free to take some of our, like, shit literature," like, referring to the zines. And I did, and I remember I messaged the chat saying, like, "Sorry for, like, the really awkward interaction. I just felt really, like, nervous and awkward." And, like, you know, people were saying, "Oh, nah, it's fine." 'Cause, like, at the time I had, like, massive social anxiety. And I remember a few volunteers actually came out and just found me sitting on a tree stump, and were like, "Yo, are you Jay?" And, like, you know, he talked for a bit, and then they, like, went inside with me. And it was, like, I guess just having that, like, proper conversation and going in with, like, people just really broke that sort of social anxiety barrier for me. And it was just, like, a really nice introduction to Food or Bombs, of just, like, these people helping, you know, just, like, checking in on me. Like, I had literally just joined, and already these people who I didn't know were just checking in on me, making sure I was all right. And I remember later that day they took me to the server station, and yeah, it was a really good time.
Wow, cool. So wholesome to hear you kind of experience that initial nervousness and then having people like welcome you. And yeah, shout out to Joe for their honesty about our shit scenes. Yeah, and it was the first time you mentioned you came across like an anarchist related event. I'm curious, what were your kind of if you had expectations going in, because that's also like a common thing with regarding the word anarchy, there's a lot of like misconceptions, myths about it. Yeah, did you have any kind of hesitations or uncertainties about it?
Yeah, I think one of the main uncertainties I had was, like, this was around the time where I was still sort of, like, a baby punk almost. So I was like, I had this massive sort of imposter syndrome thing of, like, because I remember at the time I didn't have, like, all I was wearing was, like, this black flag shirt, these, like, crappy pants, and this, like, blue denim top that I, like, sharpied political slogans on. So there was that, like, sort of nervousness of, like, oh, just, like, do I belong here? But, you know, that's just, like, me being, like, socially anxious and dumb. But in regards to the actual event itself, I didn't really know what to expect, you know. But I went there, and, like, in some ways it sort of, you know, it did feel like what I would expect from a sort of, like, anarchist sort of meeting, where, like, you know, we had these banners and these flags set up, and, you know, I saw, like, but I think one thing that surprised me was how little punks there were. Like, there were punks there, but like, I was just something that, like, I don't know, just I noticed was, it was like people from like sort of all walks of life and ethnicities and ages, that and genders. And I thought that was cool because, like, yeah, you had the punks, but then you had like ordinary people, which is like, I don't know, that was cool. And to little old me, who was like very sort of new to all of this, as nervous as I was, it was a really nice space and something that like I wasn't necessarily expecting people to be very cagey or rude, but like I was kind of taken back by like just how nice and welcoming everyone was. Like, I remember I met another punk there who like I'm friends with now. Like, me and him are like very solid friends, and like we literally bonded over like, hey, I have some spare, like over like a we both liked Black Flag, and I had spare food and offered it to him, and we were just sitting on in this couch while he was eating like my spare food, and I had like an orange from Food on Bombs, and he just like, I don't know, like I just really liked how welcoming the space was, almost, because it's like, yeah.
Yeah, that mutual aid space where it's so diverse with kind of people from all across different walks of life, and how welcoming we can all be, even though there's like so much diversity, there's that inclusivity. And yeah, that first experience seems like it kept you going. So then what kind of keeps you volunteering? I think you touched on how important community is for you, and how important political action is. But yeah, in your words, what keeps you coming back?
Well, what keeps me coming back is like, what keeps me coming back is like, I sort of touched on it earlier in that, like, there is that definitely that social aspect of like being able to meet sort of other activists and, and just talk to them and, just sort of have that community. But it's also like, it's like a way that I can, put my beliefs and ideology into practice. And it's also just a way I can help out like my local community. Because like, things are getting worse and more difficult. We live in a housing crisis. We have like a cost of living crisis. Climate change is going to start making things like harder to afford. And a way for me to sort of deal with a lot of my anger and like, I'll be honest, anxieties regarding it is to like volunteer and help, like just, and in some ways, it is rewarding to sort of volunteer and help people, and that is like one aspect of why I keep joining. But like, I'd say the main one is just being able to is I guess yeah the community of it of like not just with the volunteers but with like the regulars and just talking to people who they come by to like even if they don't grab food but just to chat and like say like and just telling them about what Food Not Bombs is and like discuss and sometimes like even getting a chance to like discuss politics and like exposing them in a way to like anarchism, like and what it is or means and how it isn't just fucking, sorry, can I swear?
Abso-fucking-lutely.
How it isn't just like chaos, explosions, I'm gonna do what I want. It's like, no, it's anarchism is based on people working together voluntarily. It isn't, I don't know, I think it's a very cool thing.
Yes, yeah. And people can get their kind of first exposure to what anarchism can look like the kind of practices within it, like the mutual aid aspect for sure. And yeah, really, really admire how it's a way to deal with existential crisis of a world burning and anxiety and anger, and how we can like use that as a almost a fuel or like a telling sign to do something and to reach out to our local community. So since then, from your time with Food Not Bombs, what are some of the challenges that you saw, you experienced with the group, and how were these kind of dealt with at the time?
Yeah, so I think there's I remember a while back when we were still serving at Newtown Station, there's like a while where we had these same few regulars would sort of consistently shove like other people trying to get food, and they would like fill multiple bags of food and then like leave, and then sometimes even come back with like more bags, and that would just lead to A, people not being able to get the food that they want or need, but it would also lead to conflicts between the regulars where, you know, these are people who like need food and they're getting shoved out of the way so this other person can feel like bags and bags of food. And so, you know, we'd have people almost like coming to blows or like fights over it. And then like as a volunteer, that A is a bit, that's pretty stressful and hectic, but like, you know, having to sort of put ourselves between that and try to de-escalate these situations, it was a pretty big issue because like, you know, it made, you know, bombs look bad. It made, you know, it was turning this space that was initially like this very positive communal space into like a very negative, you know, high stress, you know, space, which wasn't ideal. And yeah, I remember, I think we initially had tried to like just talking with those people, but that didn't really bear fruit. And there was like talks of like trying to like if we could like impose a ban, but then it was stuff like how would we like impose like a ban? And like there's a lot of discussions about what we would do, and there's a lot of dissatisfaction both with our regulars and also with what is it, the like the volunteers ourselves. And I remember we the way we eventually solved it was we moved to Camp Pendleton Memorial Park, with the idea being that, you know, because it was in a park, it was a way less hectic location, and it would, you know, lead to like a more of a relaxed or calmer sort of vibe. And hopefully with like the increased space, you know, people wouldn't be like crowding around so much. And yeah, that sort of works because, you know, after that there wasn't really any shoving at all. And I'm pretty sure those regulars, I rarely see them too, like the ones who were shoving. So yeah.
Yeah, the ways that our unjust systems can manifest into that kind of I guess fear or like the shoving, the insecurity about food, it really shows in these kind of spaces. So I really enjoyed how we discussed it, like you said, like having different ideas and like a diversity of tactics. During a really stressful kind of hectic time, and we tried talking, but I think the best thing, like you said, was changing the environment. And also a shout out to Dura Books. We had a skills sharing workshop on de-escalation. So there's a lot of like skill sets that we're just often not taught, and all these things to do our best to take care of ourselves, defend ourselves, and just like have the community in front of mind rather than calling the cops or some other kind of carceral based solution, which can be so easy because we're so used to like that idea of like people need just punishment and that's it. So I think that was a really testing time for a lot of us and hopefully a learning experience. Yeah, is there anything else you wanted to chat about in regards to challenges or like what are your reflections on now, like moving forward, how we if it was to happen again?
Oh, I think like this, like I don't know, like if it was to happen again, I think that like, you know, we would probably hold like another discussion and, you know, hopefully come to a conclusion, whether it's through like talking with the people themselves, initiating a ban. But I don't think we'll be able to move again because like it's a very good spot. But I think that, like just like a reflection I've noticed about like I think, I don't know if you'd classify it as a challenge, but I just think like food or bombs at the moment is in this sort of state where it's like, obviously like I haven't been able to come to it that many serves recently, so I'm not any sort of like of authority to really talk about it. But it was just like I feel like we need to start like food or bombs is good, but it's only like one thing, and I feel like, I don't know, I see like an end goal of like there being like multiple mutual aid groups and sort of network, like helping the communities around Sydney, but that's not really a challenge, and I don't know.
It's definitely like maybe some of the ideas that we can have for future in terms of diversifying the groups, splitting up different kind of action groups, affinity groups according to locations or areas. And then depending on everyone's capacity, there's so much room for reaching out and also connecting with other groups already doing some of the work. So yeah, that's definitely on the cards. And I'd agree there's a lot of potential for that action. Maybe we'll keep that for the last question in terms of like dreams for this year. But I'm curious with the you touched on like political beliefs, and we touched briefly on like cost of living and housing crises. And I think as a reflection to kind of name some of the problems, because it's so easy to just blame individuals, whether they're like individual politicians or like individuals who are kind of propagandized into, poor people just need to pull themselves up by the bootstraps, instead of looking at the systems that lead to the problems. What do you think are some of these kind of systemic problems that we see with our volunteering work at Food Not Bombs?
Well, I think like we see a lot of people suffering from just things like price gouging and the effects that like corporate greed has when left unchecked, in the sense that like we live right now, we're living in a time where people who are like working oftentimes like struggle to like afford groceries, and I think that stems from the fact that we live in a system where the people that like we get these from, like Woolies and Coles, the people with the majority of the wealth also have like the majority of the power, and so are able to, I guess, sort of like exploit these communities without any checks. And I guess that just sort of stems from like living in a capitalist system and like living in a system which prioritizes, wealth over sustainability and well-being. I don't know, like, yeah.
Yeah, well said. Yep, the kind of systems that we have currently in place that are just funneling up all the profits to those at the top, and then the rest of us, the 99%, are left kind of struggling to live. And like you said, even people who have employment or have jobs or are working, or are working multiple jobs, with other commitments, we're struggling to afford groceries. And that's kind of the root of some of the problems that we're seeing. And like you said, it's kind of getting worse. So what do you think, like, not saying that we have any magical or singular solutions, but how do you think we as a community, as a mutual aid group, can address some of these root causes?
Yeah, sorry, just like one other issue
Go for it.
that I think, or one root cause, is just like we live in like a sort of disconnected society which values like selfishness and like competitiveness over like cooperation, and like basically has like disempowered people from organizing and solving their issues directly, and I think that's like another systemic issue where it's like we're so reliant on corporations and governments that it's like if like a neighborhood is like if all the people in a neighborhood are struggling to like eat, it's like the way I see it is like that neighborhood should be able to come together and like just fucking set up like a garden, but I feel like we just live in a society where it's like people are so disempowered that like we can't really do that now. And I guess just how does FNB like address these root causes is like, obviously there's this whole like basic level of how we help alleviate the pressure just by like providing food, but I think Food Not Bombs, just because of how we operate and what we do, we're like an example of how people can sort of organize to solve issues in their community directly without the need for charity or government support, which often isn't effective, and is only done like for political like reason. And so I think by like us, being that A, we can like inspire hopefully other individuals, both within our own community and other communities, to like look inwards and go, okay, how can we start solving these issues? And I think we are seeing that in how, you know, at the moment there's the Outer West Sydney Food Not Bombs, which is like, I don't think they've had their first serve yet, but I think we're beginning, we're planning to do our first serve. And I think that will help address the root causes in that as more and more mutual grades crop up, and I talked about this earlier, I believe it'll hopefully lead to like this sort of network of mutual aid across like Sydney, in that like people will learn to become less reliant on corporations and governments, because you know any support that we get from those groups like won't last forever and will eventually go away when it stops being political convenient, and you know the people will be left out to dry. So I think Food Not Bombs, both like this Sydney chapter and just wider, like helps address these root causes by empowering communities and people to, I guess, become more independent and like work for each other. And also, yeah, I think in a society like ours, which, you know, prioritizes greed and like profit, being a group of people, you know, in a communal effort like this, it fosters like a sense of community. Like, you know, at our serves, I see it where like people like see what we're doing and they like really fucking like it and they join us, or they read like the literature that we disseminate, and you know we do these things like raise class consciousness and just get people to think of like, you know, there's all these issues, and you know, because I feel like a lot of people, they experience the issues that modern society creates, but then they don't really think further of like, okay, why? You know, why is it that like people have jobs and are struggling to pay rent or struggling to afford groceries when we have a like billionaires? Why is the government backing corporations over the people? And I think it's like that's another great way that Food Not Bombs sort of addresses root causes, is like we plant sort of like a seed in people to start thinking about like, okay, you know, this current system is corrupt as hell. And sorry, I'm yapping a lot, but it's like you can see it in me, in the sense of like when I joined Food Not Bombs, I wasn't a full anarchist, but like being exposed to like the sort of literature, and also just through my experiences in Food Not Bombs, it led me to develop class conscious and like, I don't know. It's, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's a very relevant yap. The idea of like empowering us to work together and to see and experience the difference of how we can rely on each other and our organizing and direct action rather than relying on state power or just getting back into the same cycle of capitalism where there is, like you said, competitiveness over cooperation and collaboration. So it's like an example of more than just being a charity or going into like an NGO industrial model. It's we are direct actioning. We're taking food, we're cooking the food, and we're delivering the food to the people directly without kind of going through hoops, whether that's like a government party or going through too many other kind of organizations. We're just going direct to the source of the food. And that's a way that we can show, hey, everyone can do this. Like there's the capacity for more of this. And it's an example of that solidarity and mutual aid nature where we help
Yeah.
each other rather than it being like top down or hierarchical, or we have like some kind of leadership vanguard group that knows everything and they act like experts and kind of enforce this kind of idea of, oh, you people, you poor inferior people, here is your food. It's more like, hey, you deserve to eat. This is what we do. Come join us, like voluntarily if you want, because
Yeah.
this shit can be done anywhere at any time.
Exactly, yeah. And it's like it sort of shatters the sort of like apathy or paralyzation that like we have, in that like, oh, the only way you can make a difference is if you send money to this charity where most of your money won't even actually go to the cause. It'll pay all these like pseudo positions, you know, like non-profit organizations, which just end up, you know, not really making a difference and just wasting so much money rather than just fixing the root causes.
Exactly. And like on this note, in terms of we're talking about like the ideas, dreams for the future, and you touched on opening up like a Western Sydney group, and this has been on the cards for a little while, so that's exciting. But yeah, what would be like building on your idea of multiple mutual aid groups or like different kind of communities linking up and connecting people already doing the work in the wider network, in the wider community? What would be some of your dreams for Food Not Bombs in 2025?
Well, like the way I see it is, Food Not Bombs, like I feel like the ideal for like Food Not Bombs or just the mutual aid, I don't know, movement in general is like it doesn't just stop at Food Not Bombs. Like there are so many other needs that need to be fulfilled, like even stuff something as simple as like daycare, or like just workshops, like self-defense workshops. I think like my dream is like sort of there to end game, like the end game would be in Sydney there to be like a wealth of like mutual aid groups of like, you know, dozens, all fulfilling their own particular niches and all working in like solidarity for each other. Because that way, because like right now, for instance, it's just like there's like Food Not Bombs Sydney, but like it's almost like it's like anyone who has like an interest in mutual aid is like we j they join Food Not Bombs and that's great, but I kind of have this feeling of like I feel like there's so many other niches that people like could work or like volunteer in, and in Food Not Bombs it's like you join Food Not Bombs, it's like oh you like you can serve or like you can cook, you can do stuff related to food, but like I just think I think the ideal is like just sort of promoting people to not just go like, oh, there's this group, I want to join it, but go like, oh, there's this thing, there's this like, I've noticed this issue in my community. What if I make my own group? And I think that's what more people should do, and I think that's what like Food Not Bombs we should promote, and I think we do promote it in a sense, but I don't know. I think that and is like really important is just setting up this sort of network of mutual aid. Because like, you know, the more mutual aid groups there are, the more we can empower others and sort of inspire others to create their own mutual aid groups. Because like seeing like a group of people just getting together and then just fixing or like working against this one issue is inspiring because it shows us like, you know, we can just do it directly. We can just do direct action of like, okay, we have like if a neighborhood, for example, like a community has an issue with like fascists, because you know, we're starting to see more neo-Nazis in Sydney. I think, you know, like anti-fascists putting on like self-defense workshops, I think that would be really good. I think that's like, and if Food Not Bombs can like sort of promote that by like doing these, I'm just kind of yapping here. But it's like, imagine if Food Not Bombs put on like a self-defense workshop. And also like serve food where like people can come and like have food or like learn to fight. Or like what if we did like public, because I was reading about how some of the other Food Not Bombs groups, they sometimes like have these big chalkboards and like yes they hand out the zines, but on these big chalkboards like they write out like sort of small pieces of theory or like the zines on these big chalkboards so people don't have to take a zine to read it, but like as they're reading they can just read it on the chalkboard. I think that's cool. But I also think I think sort of main gap or issue I have with like, well, not issue, but Food Not Bombs currently, like our open meetings aren't really that open. It's like kind of like only the like volunteers go to them for the most part. Although I haven't been to an open meeting, I think in a while. But I was reading about how other Food Not Bombs groups, they have their open meetings and okay, let me rephrase. I think it for the future of Food Not Bombs, what could be really beneficial is like currently we have like regulars who come to serve, and I don't know, I've noticed that like we've had some issue with like getting some of our regulars to actually get involved with volunteering or like organizing. And I think one way we can get around that is by having our open meetings be really open and like promoting them to our regulars, and maybe even ho hosting them in like the park, or like maybe not a park, but like some other similar public space where like sort of anyone can come in and like listen to the meeting, or like, you know, put their hand up and have their own sort of opinions on things. And I think maybe doing that to coincide with a serve where like we have an open meeting and we also serve food like during the meeting or in a break in the meeting. Because coming to a meeting is like, you know, it's a big commitment. You're going, like, you're traveling to the meeting, you're taking time out of your day. So I think a way we can really make our meetings more accessible and open to people is by like having serves at our meetings and having them at like parks and stuff. Because then it's like, for instance, like in the mind of like a regular, like someone who comes to get food, is like they can come and they can get food, and then they also get to have a say in the group. And even if maybe they can't like be like a really consistent volunteer, they can still like get a say and give us like really like have like yeah, they can still have a say and give insight into their perspectives on things. And I think that's like what's really needed, is we need to have like open meetings that are really open and not just like volunteers only. Well, so they're not
Yes.
volunteers. Yeah, I don't know. Did that make
Yeah.
sense?
Does. Yeah. So having the meetings around the time of the serve to make it more accessible so that regulars can get involved. I really like as well the idea of a chalkboard or a whiteboard. I know that we have or we had one of those small whiteboards, and maybe that can be a way like ongoing for feedback as like regulars come. If they, for instance, can't make it or don't want to make it to like a formal meeting, but yeah, that's a lot of great opportunities and ideas to expand out so we can make our organizing a lot more open to everyone and not just kind of volunteers. And like one of the struggles with technology is having everyone like download a new app and try and navigate the overwhelm of like communicating on another app. So if there's ways to make it, again, like you said, more accessible, I think then that can involve more people to share their opinions about what they're struggling with, what the problems are, and what are some ideas and solutions for addressing these problems. And yeah, expanding out self-defense workshops. So shout out again to Jura Books. And there is FFB, which is a group. I know I should probably put this in the show notes. I'll ask the organizer if they're keen with it. But there are self-defense workshops for different communities and groups that we can do. DIY workshops. We've got markets as well, like free market. I know we had a vegan picnic with free markets just recently whilst you were away, I think, Jay. So all these ideas to expand out and to do more than just like food distribution. Yeah. Did I miss something from what you mentioned?
No, yeah, that is like a really good summation of like what I said. I just yap a lot. So, but you know, yeah, that covered everything I said really in a really nice way.
What do you feel, and putting you on the spot and myself on the spot, because this is a question that I've been like exploring in my mind of how to like facilitate, encourage, and like help people with the organizing, because it can, like you said, there's a lot more that we can do. It's just the action step is the hardest part. So what do you feel would be a helpful kind of way to encourage people to start like organizing in their own community or to get more involved in some of the action points or to gather people and start organizing for more of these kind of mutual aid groups? What do you think might be like the most common barrier from what you've come across?
I think the most common barrier is like people in like different like communities like feeling isolated, or like literally like they are isolated from like, because I know like where I live, because I am pretty far from Newtown, it's like, and I know I have friends who are like in Western Sydney and stuff. It's like, for instance, if you're someone who wants to set up your own mutual aid group, it's like, okay, I want to set up this mutual aid group. how do I find other people? And I feel like away from your bombs, like I feel like one way you can get around that is like, because again, like going back to the think food for thought, like food or bombs book is like a way to do that is like start contact, like I think just making like flyers or posters or like messaging like local like online message boards for your local communities could be a way to start trying to find people. But I think another way is like just talking to your friends. And to answer your question, but like yeah, it is a hard question because like I do think that is like the hardest part is like getting, I think the two main hardest parts is like getting the people like who is finding people who would want to do it with you is like the hardest part, especially at the start when it's like you're not already functioning, but instead you're trying to just build it from the ground up. But I think a way funeral bombs can sort of support that is like a like I because I keep referencing the food not bombs, I think the food for thought book, but it's like that's a whole book and it's in PDF form and so it's not the most accessible piece of literature. So I think a way just in my mind that I just thought of just now is like if you could even just make a zine of like just make a zine of like how to start a food not bombs chapter. And we can just like and we can sort of within our own group like just talk to the people within our group, especially the ones who've been in it since like the early days, and like get their insights and create this zine. And then we can do things like, for instance, disseminating it in areas where we know they can like likely reach people who would be interested in setting up a chapter, like having people go give them out at like punk gigs or giving them out to like other places that would like be likely to hold zines or flyers. Such as like record stores or like community centers. That way, like for instance, I don't know. I think it's a good question and it's like a hard one. But like that's just what comes to my mind. It's just like sort of like because when it's in a zine form, it's like way more compact and like someone can see that, grab it, and read it. And it's like not this big book. It's like this small condensed thing of just like some insight and. Tips and like I don't know, just like yeah, some knowledge on how to start your own funeral bombs thing, and it can like to me that can like if someone was to get that and they were to read it, they'll like it. Even if they don't immediately start organizing a funeral bombs gig, it like plants that sort of seed in their head of like this is a doable thing that people have done before in my position, and like this is like some insights they have, and maybe not immediately, but like who's to say that if that like a month or two later. They're like at like I'm just writing this to like punk a lot because like that's sort of my area. But like he used to say like a month or two later, like at another gig, they might just be talking with their mates and going like, hey, what if like we start a funeral bombs thing? What if we just try? Because I got this zine and it says, I don't know.
Yeah, it's great. The ideas of like the problems are like isolation and resources. If we were to like boil it down to two main ones. So if you feel like, as you mentioned, if you're living in an area where it's just hard to get public transport or accessible kind of access to groups, like the way that suburbs are designed can be quite isolating in itself. So that is one of the starting points. If you don't have people, so then the solutions would be finding people, chatting with local communities, reaching out to local groups like community gardens and other kind of groups that do workshops. And as you mentioned, one of the ways to build that and to start these conversations is to make a zine. So maybe there could be a making a zine of the Western Sydney food not bombs, so that people have an example of how, oh, this is how this food not bombs chapter started, and anyone can do it. So yeah, finding the people and with the people that you already know, starting the chats about, hey, what can we do to organize? What would you like to do? And that can break some of that initial inertia of an action step, because it can be quite hard, especially if people feel already isolated, and making the most of the resources that people have. So the other one is like if transport is an issue, then we can reach out to our Food Not Bombs like Sydney chapter, Gadigal chapter, to see if someone has like accessible transport or is able to taxi around for traveling from like where the flyers are that someone printed to the punk gig, for instance. So all these little steps are options. It's just finding the one and going with it, and then fucking up, making mistakes, then trying and learning from those mistakes and trying a different one, or trying the same one with a different approach. That's what I took from some of the ideas. And yeah, I think that kind of summarized what I was thinking as well. How does that sound though?
Yeah, and I think yeah, that sounds really good, and especially that last part of just like even if so, not the perfect fucking plan, just trying, and like yeah, okay, you're gonna fuck up, but then it's like you can learn and you can keep trying, and I think that's like another important thing is like I feel like this is, and I have it too. I feel like it's just this very prevalent idea of like if we try to do like if you try to do anything, you know, we get so worried about whether or not we're gonna succeed that it gets in the way of just fucking trying. And I think that's like a really good point in that like if like for instance you're a group of people who are like oh you want to do something, like there's you've noticed something in your community that you want to solve, but like you're worried that like you don't really know how, just like try, you know, like get your heads together, just think of something and then just try it, and then like even if it doesn't work, like A, you've made an attempt. But you can hopefully learn from that in attempt and like have some sort of like insight and hopefully carry that with you in your next attempt. It's like there's no like I don't think there's no blueprint, I think, for like setting up a mutual aid group, for instance, you know, because like every community is different and the people in that community are different. So you've got to have different people being interested in volunteering, and that's like you've got to mean like different skills and like different personalities, and there's also going to be different issues and different environments. But I think like if like people just if more people would just try, then I think like we'd be like yeah, I think more people just need to try. 'Cause like think I'm thinking of it in the sense of like if like five different groups, you know, like they all try and only even if only one group is successful, that's like one group that's successful. And it's like but if all those groups just like keep trying even when they screw up, eventually there's gonna be like five successful like mutual aid groups, and that is really good, and I think people just need to yeah try and fuck up and learn and keep trying.
That's it. That continual process of acting, of trying, of and then reflecting on what went well and what didn't go so well for the next time. So it's a continual kind of action process. Are there examples that come to mind of when you or other people in our community have tried fuck ups or not?
Back when I was like, I mean, this is like, isn't n like properly, like, it's this is more related to just like general political action. But, like, when I was in like school strike, for instance, we would like fuck up loads of times because, like, you know, we're a bunch of students trying to navigate how to fucking organize protests. And, you know, for a while we were so caught up with like you know trying to be like organize these like perfect massive protests that eventually we, like just I was like I it wasn't just me, it was like sort of like we were all feeling it. I'm like okay, let's just do like a rally, let's just do like a small scale thing, and even if that doesn't go well, we will have the experience that we can then carry with us into like the next thing we organize. And I remember, like, when I was in talks with some of the other team members, when we tried to sort of revive the movement in Sydney, which, you know, it didn't really go ahead, but I still thought it was a good discussion of like, we should just like, just even if like, you have like no idea, like, say like for instance, like again, I'll just use school strike as an example. We were like, just like we were a part of it, and we were thinking like, oh, these big scale protests. But then, like, we want these big scale protests, but it's also really scary to organize them because we don't have all the skills that like are needed for it. So I brought up the idea of like, okay, let's just have like start off with like really just because you know at the time we were just a bunch of students, right? We're just a group of people who want who like see an issue, which is climate change, and we want to do something about it. So I was like, okay, let's just do like a real small, like really small scale action, like even if it's literally just like a study in or something outside of a politician's office, like it's really small scale, but like looking at it from the point of view of like sort of using it as an opportunity to sort of build up your like skills or like build up your experience and confidence and as a learning opportunity. Like I looked at that and was able to say, okay, so we want to do this study in, so what do we need? We need a table, we need some people to go there, and we maybe need to do like a bit of promo on socials. So this very basic action like helps us get experience in things like logistics and like comms and like making a social media post. And like it's a very small thing, but just by like getting that done, we then have that little bit more of skill and experience that we can carry with us into the next action of like, okay, I got it, like I figured out, like do you get what I'm saying? Like it's like,
Totally.
yeah, just sort of trying, even if it's really small scale, just to sort of get that bit of experience or confidence, which you can then bring with you into the next action you do. And you just sort of keep that cycle going. And hopefully you can like begin to achieve more and more.
Yeah, learning on during that process rather than thinking you have to have it perfectly planned out from the start. Instead, it's that imperfect action throughout, and knowing that you will get better and improve with experience and with reflections and with asking other people around you for help and with linking up with other groups or communities or activists, organizers to get insights. Like that's going to be part of the process. Maybe like normalizing the fuck ups and the mistakes would be a way to get to tackle that inertia that people have when starting up. Jay, as a final question, messages that you'd like to send to Food Not Bombs volunteers, maybe people who haven't yet volunteered that are around the social circles, the punk scene, or regulars that that attend. What are some of the messages that you'd like to send to them?
Well, one, I guess to like the other volunteers of just like, it's just like, I don't keep up what you're doing. Like, you know, it's like very, like we have a very fucking cool thing going and I think it's like really worth it. And I know it's, I personally like haven't come to a serve that much recently. But it's like, I guess, yeah, my main message is just be like every, I feel like every serve we have is like a sort of step forward, even if it's just like a tiny, tiny inch. It's like we have this opportunity to like reach more people. And I guess to just sort of other people, like, you know, outside of Food Not Bombs, it's just like if like you care about these issues, just like, you know, do something about them. And even if it's something, even if it's like volunteering with the existing Food Not Bombs group, even if it's like making your own, like, I don't know, just I feel like more people just need to do something. If that makes sense. Like get you like if you're in like some if you're in a community and there's like no female bombs, just like get you and some of your mates together and like even if you can like can't do like consistent serves, if you and your mates can like, I don't know, find like a piece of tarp or like even tons of like A4 pieces of paper and you tape them all together and you make a banner and you manage to like find you dumpster dive some food and you cook like a pot of soup or something and you just go out into the park or like street or something and you just that like that's it. And you have some like, I don't know, bowls, like that's still gonna be something. And that can just it can just stay that way where like you guys just, you know, have like a serve like inconsistently every now and then. But like who knows? By you doing that, you might get the attention of like other people who want to join your group. And it can grow into like a really cool thing. Or it can just stay the way it is. But then that's still like a cool thing where you're still helping people and like making a difference. I don't know. I'd say that like that's like my main sort of messages of just like just keep trying to fucking make a difference and eventually you will.
So well said. And for those who take food, who come along, like regulars, what would you say?
Keep coming, you know, like if you need food, like don't ever feel ashamed to like take food, but also like feel free to chat, you know, or like get involved and like you don't and getting involved can like look like anything really. It can like look like just helping it serve. It could look like if you can help cook, like even like just chopping, if you can chop shit, like you can help out at a cook. Even just like when like helping us set up or like pack up. And like come to the open meetings if you can. Like just maybe ask if you can join the Telegram chat. And then whenever there's an open meeting, come to like an open meeting just to like give us your input. Because like, we're like a mutual aid group. We're not some big fucking charity. It's just like we're just people, and you have as much of a say in what we do than like the rest of us. And your insight is valuable.
Well said. And on that note, like encouraging all the servers, the regulars, just everyone to embracing social anxiety, and you don't have to force conversations onto others, but it's really good to have these conversations started from across the table. So having chats with some of the regulars
Oh,
and getting to know their
absolutely.
names, I think it can be quite scary. That's not gonna lie. Like when talking to a stranger, and like some people just want to take their food and leave, and that's totally fine. But for those that are sticking around, I think there is that, like you mentioned, the isolation that we feel. So this is one of the ways that we can tackle that, and then that can definitely lead to more organizing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely just like that's a very good point in that. Like, yeah, I feel like there's sometimes that danger of us like sort of forming a clique of like volunteers and non-volunteers, and I think we should be doing everything we can to stop that, you know?
100%. Jay, it's been an inspiring chat. Love the fire, the passion, and the inspo that you've shared with us. Keen to hear what the community thinks of some of the ideas as well. But is there anything that we've missed, or anything you want to end with?
Not really, no. This was a great chat, and sorry if I rambled too much. But thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Relevant rambles. Thanks, Jay. And thanks everyone for listening. Follow us on the socials and reach out to us, and volunteers, keep up the very cool things that you're doing. Love it. Till next time.